Super Duper 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 Bob.
Shut up! We got it all together now, gang. The Bods. His doggy name, Mr. Cool, and the Good Group. One flaky time machine, and a future chick named Cupcake.
Wow, wow.
Oh, now the gang got zapped into that time machine, and they're like traveling through time. My, my. They do not dig where that machine is going, but they sure hope to get back to 1957 Milwaukee.
Can you dig it?
Yeah!
People don't understand time. It's not what you think it is. People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect, but actually, from a non-linear, non-subjective viewpoint, it's more like a big ball of wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
Yes, it's the sound of football, back in your ears again. Stronger and harder than a bad girl's dream. Yes, we've got their special time-travel-y wibbly wobbly, timey wimey episode of the Sound of Football, because it's a special day. We're publishing this on Back to the Future Day.
Where are we? When are we?
We're descending toward Hill Valley, California at 4:29 p.m. on Wednesday, October 21st, 2015.
2015? You mean we're in the future?
21st October 2015, which obviously is the date from Back to the Future 2, isn't it? It's when he goes into the future and he lands in his town, and they've got hoverboards and three
holographic sharks.
Holographic sharks.
Jaws?
Jaws 27, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So that was not too bad.
Yeah, it's not bad considering that it had another sequel itself to come there, really.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it had fax machines as well.
Fax machines,
yeah,
yes.
Indeed, yeah. Because Marty McFly was fired via a fax machine, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yes. Over Skype and fax. Yeah, which is glorious.
Double team.
Let's not make this the sound of time travel films. But we could
We could totally do that.
We could spend half an hour talking about time travel films. But one of the aspects of Back to the Future 2 is that the sports almanac goes back and, you know, people know what the results are.
Biff
yes,
does it, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Yes. With such knowledge, you becomes very, very powerful. Now, if we had a time machine, though, if we had one of these big DeLoreans with a flux capacitor in it, and we drove it at 88 miles an hour, and we had the chance of going back in time, like Huey Lewis says, and actually changing something, how would we change football?
Wait a tick. Basil, if I travel back to 1969 and I was frozen in 1967, presumably I could go visit my frozen self. But if I'm still frozen in 1967, how could I have been unthawed in the 90s and travel back to... Oh no, I've gone cross-eyed.
I suggest you don't worry about this sort of thing and just enjoy yourself. That goes for you all, too.
Yes.
Jan. Right, okay, I've given you the keys to the DeLorean.
Right, okay.
Don't scratch it.
Okay, I won't.
It's topped up the old fusion generator.
Yeah.
Are we using the Mr. Fusion model, or are we using the plutonium model?
I think we're definitely using the Mr. Fusion model.
It's a bit safer.
Yeah.
I'm using the plutonium.
Oh, really?
Old school.
Oh, great. That means the Libyans are going to come and get us.
There may be Libyans later on in this podcast. I did see a Volkswagen Dormobile parked around the corner on my way up here. So, but, you know, hopefully they won't have seen me getting
it. Oh, great. So your one doesn't fly then?
My one doesn't fly. No.
Oh, okay. Fine. No. Okay. Fine. So you've got the flying one, so you can just jump in there.
Where I'm going, we don't need roads.
No, exactly. You don't need roads at all. But where are you going to go?
I suppose when we came up the idea of this, we would go back and stop something bad from happening.
Yeah.
So there's a very few clubs that have got a lot of money, so maybe trying to stop that from happening. I don't know.
How could you do that, though?
Well, I could shoot, or bludgeon to death, or electrocute, or push in front of a train. I've got these miles in this. That could really hurt some people.
I need your clothes, your boots, and your motorcycle.
Would you do this, or would you invent Twitter 30 years earlier?
Buy shares in Apple.
Yeah. No, think about it.
When they
think
were on their arse.
Twitter by fax. It's
yeah, how would you even retweet? Just circle it.
Yeah.
Put it back in there.
Put it back in there and just get it out there. Look, but
I know what I'd have done.
What would you have done?
I would have gone back in time to the early 90s. Wow. And I would have kidnapped Alan Sugar. Because if Alan Sugar had been kidnapped, just not forever, and I wouldn't have had a ransom or anything like that, I'd have kidnapped him, because then he wouldn't have put in that call to Sky, tipping them off as to what ITV's TV bid for the Premier League was.
Or would you have swapped the envelopes over and just made sure that that ITV knew exactly what to do?
Yeah, or I would have done the other way around. Yeah. I'd have snuck in. Well, I'd have known what Sky's bid is, and I would have phoned. I'd have phoned Greg Dyke, and I'd have said to him, "Greg, they're going to be offering shed loads of money. You need to come up with a rival one." But I think I would have just stopped Alan Sugar from tipping the wink, because listeners who don't know this, at the time, Alan Sugar, who had a concern in satellite dish manufacturing and set-top box manufacturing, a company called Amstrad. Was also the owner of Tottenham Hotspur Football Club, or the chairman of Tottenham Hotspur, and was in on the deal for the TV rights for the new Premier League when it launched. And the rival bidders were ITV and Sky, and ITV were the favourites to get it, and they came in with their bid, which was, I don't know, however many millions it was. And Alan Sugar picked up the phone, spoke to Sky and said, "Right, this is how much ITV are bidding. So if you want this to happen, you need to bid significantly more." And they
blew them out of the water.
And they blew them out of the water.
£303 million.
And Alan Sugar, as a consequence, must have made an absolute pot full of money. Mm. So I would go back in time and I would put a bag over his head.
Or maybe just give him an Amstrad phone.
Indeed. And then you'd never have a chance of phoning anyone, because it's widely known, again, listeners from overseas particularly, that Amstrad products were shit.
Yeah. Without exception.
Without exception.
The problem is here, is this is what happened in Back to the Future 2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because you created this alternate history.
Yeah.
So you do that, and then Greg Dyke, who I don't think is evil's beyond that man.
Whoa.
Greg Dyke suddenly becomes the man who wins the bid for ITV.
Yeah.
And suddenly they become the evil ones. And suddenly they were all watching ITV now.
Was it Greg Dyke who was running the show at that point?
Greg Dyke got the heads of the big five together, because he said you can make more money.
That's right, yeah.
You can make more money if you break away and you don't have to share the TV money with the rest of the Football League. You can just share it amongst yourselves, which is a lovely sporting thing to do.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why they made him the head of the FA, didn't they?
So it was he who came up with the... He started the notion of the Premier League.
In 1990, he came it up and got them all together, and that's where it all started.
But the problem with that, the problem with creating that alternate timeline is that ITV would have dominated the Premier League, would have controlled the Premier League.
Have you ever watched ITV?
I remember ITV from when before the Premier League, and it was the big five. And maybe another team. So if you supported Tottenham, Arsenal, Everton, Liverpool and Manchester United, then you loved ITV because you got lots of free football on your telly every week. If you supported any other club, you just didn't get anywhere near it. Very rarely would you ever see a team. Mm. And they were generally hated for that. And I don't imagine for a moment it would have been that much difference had they won that bid. But it might well have been a very different... Very different landscape.
I wonder how long they would have held on to exclusivity for. I don't think they would have held on to the whole exclusive coverage for as long as Sky did. I don't know. It may not have happened, but so.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Sky only lost their exclusivity because the EU told them to. They said that it was anti-competitive, and so that was probably getting on for 10 years ago now when all that went down. They might well have done. I suppose it all depends on whether or not it would have been a success.
So in this picture then, Terry, you've got a picture that you've taken in the modern times, and you've taken it back there. You've got Alan Sugar tied to a chair and he's really, really grumpy. And so who's fading out of this photo now that he's not there to, like,
well, it
stitch up the deal?
It's got to be Richard Keys and Andy Gray to begin with.
They're fading away.
Yeah, fading away from
that's
the picture.
Not a bad thing, though, is it?
No. Well, I'm positing that it's not necessarily a bad thing. You could say that I'm swapping one form of football dystopia with another, but, you know... Oh. Mind you, it would have been a lot more Brian Moore. We'd have had a lot more Brian Moore if ITV had won that. And I think that, generally speaking, that would have gone down quite well.
But we would have ended up with...
You can't say that.
It was all right.
No, you can't. No.
But you would have had a lot more Andy Townsend. And no one wants that.
Well, yeah. I hadn't considered that. And a lot more Ron Atkinson. Yeah. Loads more, because Big Ron was... I mean, mind you, he was still managing at that point, but, I mean, he was definitely drifting into punditry.
A
lot more pleat.
Loads of pleat. That would have been fairly horrific.
I wonder if David Icke wouldn't have... Had David Icke already gone off the ball by then?
I think he
was chasing Dragon's End, basically.
Was he?
Chasing Dragon's End? What are you suggesting here? If you're referring to David Icke's reawakening, then yes, you're right. I think he was on his way to his reawakening at that time.
But it'd be interesting. They could have brought him back for some kind of alternative football show, which is where, you know, the lizards play against each other.
But of course, if you do change the past, obviously you can't go back and, like, give young Terry all the results over the next 30-odd years, because you're going to change things, aren't you?
Well, I mean, the obvious thing to have done, yes, would have just picked up a Rothmans and you know, gone back in time and handed it to my younger self.
Was he a heavy smoker?
I hated Rothmans when I was younger. Yeah, they were. I smoked them. I could have done that. Yeah, like, I'd have given him a pack of smokes as well.
That's good of you.
Yeah. That's sort of like, that's the obvious thing, isn't it? I think what we're looking to do is to try and shape or change football or reshape the path that football has taken.
Interesting, actually, if you've ever watched Hot Tub Time Machine.
I've not seen that one.
I've heard of it. It's the only crossover I know with time travel and sport. It's the only other one other than Back to the Future 2. But in there, they try to do the gambling on the football game, on the football game he remembers, and he tries to gamble, and it changes the fact that they've actually put money on there, and all of a sudden they're in an alternative reality. Yeah, I think the ball hits a squirrel or something like that.
Mm.
It's a great film. Watch it.
Yeah, I intend to.
There's a sequel come out as well.
Which would probably
be awful. Okay, so you're not. So, but you think this is going to actually make something different? It actually really just means that maybe ITV Digital goes on to rule the world instead of Sky does.
Yeah, now whether or not that is a good thing or not, I don't know. But it would have been interesting to have seen a Premier League dominated by a free-to-air broadcast rather than non-free-to-air, like non-terrestrial satellite broadcaster.
Mm.
And the rise of Sky generally and pay TV. Premier League, the football contributed hugely to pay TV in this country, because Sky used it initially to sell their satellite dishes. And they would not have been able to have done it. They might, a few years later, have gone back in and got that deal. But it may have been too late by then. Mm-hmm. And we might well be, in many other ways, culturally and in terms of the sport, a very different place now. We wouldn't perhaps be spending quite as much money as we do on television. And we do spend, some of us, a great deal of money on television, or at least there is an awful lot of money to be spent on television in this country.
I think that the pay TV model would have come in no matter who got it, really. I think that, because the whole reason that the Premier League, while the Big Five got together with Greg Dyke, was to enrich that group of clubs. So I think that anything they could do, they would have done it.
So you think that it was you take a deterministic sort of point of view, that it would have just happened.
No matter what you did, you tried to do, meddle with back in the past, it all just, very, very Doctor Who that is, isn't it? No matter what you try and do, it'll all like find its way back. The rivers of time will come back. And
no fate.
Yeah.
You can't escape it.
Mm.
I think that definitely would have happened. That's the reason it was all set. It was set up about concentrating money in the hands of the few, and that's exactly what it would have done. I don't think you changed it.
Do you think you'd have gone back in time? What would you change?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, because the thing is, things would go into a certain course. I mean, if you want to get serious about it, there are things you could stop. You could stop things like the many disasters that happened during the 80s.
I figured that was beyond the remit of this conversation.
I think so. I think we're trying to keep things lighthearted, of course. And I think that's. But if you obviously, but not Jan. He's decided to become like T-1000, isn't he? And decided to lay out people from the past.
Oh yeah, I thought we were allowed to do that. Yeah, time machine, get away with it.
Yeah, I mean,
you're just going to rip out the page of the telephone book with all the Greg Dykes on it. Aren't you? And just knock them all down.
Greg Dyke. Yes.
Greg Dyke.
Yes.
You don't look like a Greg.
Greg is my weekend name. And so on.
And so on. Yeah. Mm. So there is that sort of aspect to it. I think though that if you go back in time, I think if you've got a time machine, you just go back in time to some really good games, don't you?
I'd go back and watch Matt Stanley Matthews play.
Yes.
I really want to know how good that guy was. Because anyone who's seen him play says that he was as good as any of the best players that there have been. And I think to myself, well, I love that idea. I really love that idea. But I really am having trouble convincing myself that that is the case. I think that modern footballers are far fitter, more athletic. They have greater stamina, they must do, than players, even really dedicated athletes like Sir Stanley, would have been back in like post-war austere 1950s.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't.
How about?
But it would be really interesting to see.
Yeah. What about, or else if you, another interesting thing you could do is to go back in time with a pair of modern lightweight football boots. Yeah, try these on and see how
he would have snapped his metatarsals after 5 minutes, wouldn't he? And he wouldn't have played again.
Actually, there's an interesting point about that because Matthews went out to one of the World Cups in South America and England got knocked out early, as they always did. And he paid to stay on to watch the rest of the World Cup while the England team all went home, because he said, maybe we can learn something from these guys. And he was fascinated by the fact that South Americans wore light boots, light weight boots. And he actually brought a pair back, and he got, I think it was Woolworths, to manufacture a pair for him. This is not an alternate route. This actually happened. So he got them, and because of the ball that they played with took on a lot of water, his boots would last one game, and they'd have to make him a new pair every single week. But that actually happened. So he did actually pioneer the light boots in Europe.
There you go. Actually, you scared the hell out of me there now, because I think, he didn't pick those up from South America, did he? He picked them up from us, coming out of our DeLorean, saying, look, playing these.
Stan, come here.
So what you're saying is that we went back in time to the 1950 World Cup to watch England lose to the USA, just for chits and giggles.
Yeah.
And we bumped into Sir Stan.
Yeah.
And we said, here, go try these on for size, mate.
Yeah.
Yes,
that's exactly what we did.
Yeah. So we have already
altered
the course.
Yeah. Now we have to do it.
Now we have to do it. Now we need a DeLorean.
Do you mean I don't get to kill everybody called Greg Dyke in London?
Well, it's a much better thing than
he is the only one I know. So maybe we've already done that as well. Maybe you have to do that. Maybe Greg Dyke was one of the most popular names ever 30 years ago, and we can't remember it now.
Which one do we do first? Right, we go off. Go off to 1990, kill all the Greg Dykes. I come back to the car and go,
this is your plan.
I don't want to talk about it, guys. Let's go back to 1950 now. Have you got the boots?
I think we do have the makings of an excellent time travel football film. This is where football films have been going.
Yeah, absolutely.
They haven't put time travel in there. I mean, like, you know, they tried having a football film mixed with an escape film, didn't they? So
they did indeed. Yeah. They did indeed.
They linked it with prisons, and that's not really.
Can we just say that film is terrible?
Yes.
Is it all right that we can say that Escape to Victory is a dreadful film?
It's an awful.
I might go back in time and.
It's a great escape film.
Find whoever commissioned that movie. It's a decent escape film.
Well, it's not.
We'll have a. Let's do a podcast on the Great Escape, and where we just convince Jan how the wrongness of his opinions
about John
about Escape
from
Pikachu.
How can that be a bad film?
Or Banjo. Well, you've asked the question yourself. Okay. Yeah?
Well, I mean, therein lies the huge disparity of opinion. The gulf, the chasm.
That's a good thing about opinions, aren't they? They can't be wrong, can they? Except yours.
Yours.
Mine's are not wrong.
Unless they're wrong opinions.
The only thing that film was missing was a submarine.
Yeah, that's true. They do build a tunnel underneath a bath.
Yeah,
so you've got a very, very like confined atmosphere. That's what you like. You like tunnels, don't you?
I do. I do like
submarines and tunnels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on. I suddenly got a bit Freudian there, didn't
I? Going back to see other games would of course be very, very cool. But I do think that, you know, the idea of going back to sort of like alter the timeline is a little bit more. A little bit more appealing, I have to say.
Mm.
But can we travel in space as well as time? Well, when I say space, I don't mean to other planets.
Yeah.
I just mean to other places. Like, could we go back to 1970 and stop Bobby Moore from going anywhere near that jewellery shop in Colombia where he got done maybe, for...
Yeah.
Well, I don't know the story.
Well, you know where he got... He said he got fitted up because he said he stole a, was it a watch or something?
It was a chain or something, I think.
A chain. He stole an
item of jewellery.
In a pre-season tour before the Mexico World Cup.
Yeah.
And it is suggested that this didn't put him or the team in the best frame of mind going into the tournament. Yeah. And I will go back and maybe stop. And then maybe we might have gone a little one step ahead and been beaten by Brazil in the 1970 final, as, you know, I think we had earned the right to do by that point.
Mm. Actually, what we could do is we could go back to 1966 and a local, go up to Buell Hill, just hang around there, look under the bushes and see if we can find the World Cup.
That's a great idea! And then bring him back here! Yeah.
And unveil it. We got the World Cup!
And unveil it on next week's podcast.
Yes.
Next week's podcast,
after
listeners.
All these years. Yeah. And it turns out that we've got it.
Yeah. Because, you know, during the World Cup, well, before it actually got stolen, the FA made a replica of it.
Oh, right.
There was a replica made
really?
Before it even got stolen, yeah.
This makes you think,
this
doesn't it?
Gives me cause to stroke my chin in a...
Yeah, so talking about time travel, it's like you did this before this has even happened, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Or maybe they thought, oh...
Or maybe they were just thought, hang on, we've got this back from the future, and look, there's now two. We've got a double timeline thing going on here. Look, paradox. Don't get those two World Cups in the same room, no. Otherwise everything will explode.
Of course, that's absolute rubbish, as Star Trek taught us. The Star Trek 09 film. You can have... You know, you can have two people from two different timelines in the same room. You know, Spock and Spock were obviously together, right? And so, you know, there was no paradox. Everything was fine. You know, that's one of the many wonderful things about that film, which is in no way inferior to anything else.
Mm. Yeah.
And the talking whales.
Yeah, that's the other Star Trek film, yeah. But we've not gone into talking whales because it doesn't really have any bearing on football. But I mean, much as I'd like it to, but it doesn't.
Yeah, I can't imagine having to go to like the future to talk to whales with an H to sort of like sort out some. I mean, maybe they've got they've got their flippers on the pulse of football and they know exactly what's going to happen.
Yeah, but we wouldn't be able to understand them. We'd need a large cigar-shaped probe to come and, you know, and almost destroy our planet before we
cigar-shaped probes. Here we go again.
Terry,
look, I don't make these films, right? I don't make these films. I just watch them.
Terry,
watch them and enjoy them. As we all do. So we've decided. Oh, I don't know, because we can. Turn the dial the other way and zoom into the future and see if we're against modern football, as some people are, how much are they going to be against future football? Is it going to be too scary to go and see what that's like?
Well, if it's anything like rollerball, then I think that'd be pretty good.
I mean, let's face it, it's going to be really entertaining, isn't it?
I think what we have said when we've discussed rollerball in the past is that although obviously it's a different sport to football, what it represents and what it symbolises is very much how I perceive, anyway, I think perhaps we all agree, we perceive a path that football is going down. The idea of corporations asserting control over states and using organised sports as a way of focusing the masses away from what's important, and allowing corporations to exploit them while they become distracted by organised sports and their heroes. And I, as much as I love football, I do consider it in some, and while I think it has a wonderful, tremendous potential for service to its communities and the things that it can do with its communities, I also believe that it is a powerful opiate. And I think that that is something that, that will happen and get worse as time will come, time will pass. And I think that, that Rollerball exemplifies that perspective very, very well, because it's a stompingly good movie. And we are, of course, talking about the 1974 Rollerball and not the 2003 remake,
Absolutely.
Which was atrocious.
I haven't seen that film, so I can't really comment.
Right, okay, all right. Well, you can watch it and then agree that it was atrocious.
I think I'll trust your judgment on that one, Terry. I think I can probably live without seeing that.
I'd agree with you. I think it will become about a small number of interested parties just getting bleeding it for what they can, really. The world's favourite sport, and there's a lot of money to be had, and therefore people will get, you know, nasty and corrupt to get what they want, really. So I'd say Rollerball's probably the nice side of what it might be. But you never know.
The worst thing is if you go to the future, you see what it's like, and then you come back and you think, well, what the hell can I do to stop it?
Well, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
And on that profound note...
Damn them, Graham.
It's probably time to bring this podcast to a close.
Damn them all to hell.
Damn them all to hell. Yeah, that would be it. We'd all just be beating the sand, looking at the...
the Wembley Arch,
at the Wembley Arch, poking out the ground. And meanwhile, behind us, there are monkeys laughing.
Or you'd be running through the streets when you got back, screaming what was going to happen. You'd be like Cassandra, no one will believe you.
So, yeah, that's what Twitter is, isn't it?
It's a bit like that, yeah.
Everyone knows the future there, don't they? They're always telling you what's going to happen. But doomed to never be retweeted.
You might have some editing to do on that.
I've got lots of editing to do. It's okay, it's quite good. It's all right, because it's a bit of a swim episode.
We jump around in time a lot.
We do.
Yeah, and I wanted to get my Dan, you're all to hell joke in earlier as well, but it didn't seem appropriate to do so. This is what happens when you improvise.
Maybe if we could go back half an hour and do it all again.
We could go back half an hour and do it all again. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing a 200% podcast, a version of precisely that.
Surely they'll come back in time to do it before us.
No doubt Ed Carter has already had that idea and he's gone, no. Honestly, they did. They had to have that idea. Actually, I'd go back in time and tell Ed Carter about this idea.
I thought you guys were taking the piss. I didn't know what you were saying until I saw Build Your Own Fire. I thought, that's exactly what we just did.
Did you listen to it? Well, they do acknowledge. He does acknowledge that
he stole the idea. Well, he doesn't acknowledge it. Yeah, he says he had the idea before us.
He had the idea before us, but crucially recorded the podcast after us. So again, I mean, maybe it might well have fallen through some kind of temporal nexus and come out, you know, in the future after hours, but it was actually produced and dropped beforehand.
So from me, Graham Sibley, Terry DeFerlin, and Jan Bilton, it's goodbye.
Goodbye. See you last week.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Well, that was all right, wasn't it, guys? It was a decent pod.
That was pretty, brilliant, that was.
Pretty good. Yeah.
We got a lot covered there.
What's that over there?
Oh no. It's the Libyans! Run for it, guys!